SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. At the end of week number 9 in the opening half of this NFL season, we react to what we have seen in the first 9 weeks and what is on the horizon for the second half in those final 9 weeks of this 18-week regular season. Thank you for joining us all across Sports Grid Radio's network and, of course, SiriusXM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, week number 9 coming to a close with a Monday night in Kansas City, and at the end of the opening half of this NFL season, there still remains one undefeated team. It's the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Not easy last night. We'll react to the overtime victory for the Chiefs on a Monday night against the Buccaneers. What it means and where the market has reset in the midway point of this NFL season. And of course, it is deadline day around the National Football League, the trade deadline a little bit later this afternoon. Plenty to get to here on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, you know, the 4 o'clock Eastern time deadline, generally don't see that many trades, Ben, in the NFL, but we've seen a couple already that just have to cross the T's and dot the I's, so we might actually see a few more, believe it or not, with all these teams, you know, seemingly down and out. You got 7 teams that have 2 wins or less in the NFL. I don't know how that compares to other years, but boy, that seems like a lot, really does. So you might get some teams like the Cleveland Browns that might just say, you know what? Whoever you want, let me know, and let's try and work out a compensation package where we get some draft choices. So Kansas City, again, proving that they're the best team to me in the AFC. Todd Bowles, again, proving that he has no business being on the sidelines as a head coach. So Kansas City wins with the help of Todd Bowles. And, Ben, we get into it a little bit with the help of the officials last night, because it's getting very difficult to watch Kansas City Chiefs games without saying, boy, they're getting another break from the NFL, from the officials anyway.
The Chiefs are undefeated, a perfect 8-0. Do not cover last night at home as a 9.5-point favorite against the shorthanded Buccaneers. And Scott, for a while, it seemed like the Chiefs were going to win the game very comfortably. They trailed early in the second half. They scored twice in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes avoiding what seemed to be a non-contact injury scare to come back into the game the very next possession for Kansas City and throw his second touchdown pass of the game to DeAndre Hopkins. 3 TD passes for Patrick Mahomes last night. But with just over 2 minutes remaining, the Buccaneers drive the length of the field virtually, or at least over 70 yards, and score to tie the game, or at least to go down by 1 at the moment. And then Todd Bowles decides to kick the extra point and not go for 2 to send the game into OT. The Chiefs get the ball first in overtime. They take about 6 minutes, and Kareem Hunt walks it off in the extra session. His 4th consecutive game with a touchdown. Kansas City remains unblemished at 8-0. Tampa does cover as a 9.5-point road underdog. A total, Scott, of 45 and a hook does end up going over in overtime.
Yeah, it does. With that last touchdown by Tampa Bay sending the game to OT and pushing to it over, yeah. You're right about that. I don't know how, Ben, you don't go for 2. You know, you just and what's weird about this whole thing for me with Todd Bowles is when they asked him about it after the game, it was almost like an epiphany moment. Like, go for 2? Why? We could do that? You know, it was just like, no, we're not going to go for 2. That's not why we lost the football game, blah, 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 blah. It is. You can always find reasons, Ben, on why you don't do something. It's the people that find reasons to do something that are successful. You can find 5,000 reasons why they lost a football game. You know, the fact that they gave up nearly 300 yards passing, the fact that they couldn't guard Travis Kelce, 14 receptions last night, crazy. The fact they gave up over 100 yards rushing to Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's a number of reasons why you don't do something. The better people overcome those things. And when you have an opportunity to win the football game like they did, you don't pass up on it. To me, you just don't. He did, and they end up losing in overtime because they never got the football.
And Scott, there's not really a blueprint to beat Kansas City, but a conservative approach to facing off against the Chiefs, sometimes even taking points when you should try to extend, can be problematic, as we saw last night. And this was not a Buccaneers team that entered playing its best form of football or even at full 100% health. This was a Buccaneers team that somehow, some way tied the game with a 1 yard touchdown pass from Baker Mayfield to Ryan Miller, as Tampa was incredibly shorthanded in terms of its receivers last night against Kansas City. Scott, four teams during week number 9 of this NFL season scored in the final 2 minutes of regulation and attempted, as they were down by a touchdown, the extra point to tie the game and send it to overtime. All four of those teams who did not consider a two-point conversion ended up losing the game. Three of those teams, even perhaps more flagrant, on the road. Because, Scott, you think home field advantage counts for something? Probably in that extra session as well in overtime. So three teams scoring in the final 2 minutes of regulation did not go for two, ended up kicking the extra point, and all three lost outright in OT. The Dolphins in Buffalo, the Patriots in Nashville, and then, of course, last night, the Buccaneers in Kansas City. Now, the Bucs do cover as a 9.5-point underdog. They had failed to cover the number in three consecutive games, so now 3-3 ATS as a dog this year. Scott, we'll talk about Tampa in just a little bit. They're trying to crawl themselves out of this hole. They've dropped three straight, though, after a 4-2 start because of how injured they are, perhaps, offensively, in a defense that continues to allow a lot of points. For Kansas City, perfect 8-0. But Scott, a couple of people, not necessarily have poked holes in KC's resume, but just haven't been overly impressed by the only undefeated team left in the NFL, that being the Chiefs. 6 of the 8 games decided by just a single score, a scoring margin of just over 8 points per game. But at the end of the day, Kansas City just keeps winning football games off to an 8-0 start.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'll throw one more at you, Ben. Seattle. Now, they scored with about 51 seconds left, but, you know, theoretically, final minute, they could have gone for two against the Rams, and what do they end up doing? They lose as well, even though they won the coin toss, but that's another one. You know, my pet peeve on that before I get to the Chiefs is, Ben, you have all offseason. These guys are smart. We may think they're idiots when it comes to game minutiae, but they are smart. You got 50 zillion offensive coaches, whether it's a line coach, wide receivers coach, coordinator, running backs coach, tight end coach, right? No one can design a play where they say to themselves, boy, you know what? This is going to be successful. You know, barring a bad snap or something crazy, this is going to get us 2 stinking yards. I don't understand that. I really don't. That's all. You need 2 lousy yards. I mean, if you're not smart enough to come up with a play that really puts the odds in your favor versus a 50-50 coin toss, I mean, what are you doing in coaching? Really, what are you doing in coaching? So it's crazy. As far as Kansas City goes, you know, listen, I got a ticket to them earlier, you know, that 20-1 to go undefeated. Now, this wasn't one of the ones I was necessarily worried about, although in the end it did turn out. And they're not blowing teams out, Ben. You can count on one hand how many times Kansas City's won a football game by double digits this year, and going back to last year as well. But they're finding ways to win, maybe with the help of the officials, say what you want. But they are winning games. They got, to me, 2, maybe 3 games on their schedule. Buffalo in 2 weeks, Pittsburgh at the end of the season, and then maybe Houston at home. Other than that, there's not much standing between them and an undefeated season if they feel like that's what they want to go for versus resting players.
To go 17-0, to be perfect the entire way, is a +850 price now for Kansas City. In fact, I don't think that number is great value. Scott, you've got great value on it. Rather just have a 9-leg money line parlay than a +850 at this point. But KC is going to be expected to win all of their 9 games remaining, at least a slight favorite in 8 of the 9. The only one where they might not be is 2 Sundays from now, week number 11 in Western New York. The projected early line for that one is the Chiefs laying a point in Buffalo against the Bills. Could end up being a money line pick 'em by the time we reach next Sunday. But at the end of the day, Scott, as you said, KC just keeps winning games. Even last year, it wasn't overly picturesque, and they won their 2nd consecutive Super Bowl. The Chiefs are trying to make history as the first team to even ever play in 3 straight Super Bowls. Can KC do it? We'll talk about it up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. We are done now with 9 weeks of this NFL season. The opening half of an 18-week regular season officially in the books. And Scott, at the end of it, there is one team left standing that is perfect. It's the 8-0 Kansas City Chiefs. They have covered in 5 of 8 wins, but all 3 of their non-covers this year have come when Kansas City has laid more than 6.5 points. In fact, a 6.5 point favorite 4 times in 8 games, just 1-3 against the number. But Scott, as we look back on last night against the Buccaneers, it was perhaps Patrick Mahomes' best game of the season, the first time in any of the 8 for KC. He did not throw an interception. He threw for 291 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 of the 3 to DeAndre Hopkins in his second ever game in a Kansas City uniform, and 14 grabs last night for Travis Kelce. That proven veteran experience and that prolific connection remains despite a slow start to the season for Kelce. So again, the Chiefs are 8-0, and last night, although the defense didn't stand tall, as they have in many, many games this season, the Chiefs still end with a victory and a big one over the Buccaneers.
Yeah, you make the case, Ben, that's maybe their best offensive performance, right? You got Mahomes thrown for 291 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, as you mentioned, first time this year without an INT. You got Kareem Hunt running for 106 yards. Kareem Hunt, I mean, they're getting players, whether it's Hunt or Hopkins, that not that no one wanted Hopkins, but Hunt was out there for the taking. No one wanted him, and Hopkins was doing nothing with Tennessee, and he comes in right away. 2 games, I mean, between Kelce and Hopkins, 22 receptions for a team, you know, like Mahomes, who really does like to spread the ball around. I mean, that is amazing. You know, hello on that Tampa Bay sideline, you might want to guard Travis Kelce and Hopkins, right? I mean, let them throw it to Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman and some of those guys. The old school, man, listen, I know I'm old and it's old school. I get it. But I don't know. If I got a guy that's had 5, 6, 7 receptions, right? I'm the defensive coordinator. I'm like, okay, guys, whatever we're doing is not working. So let's put 2 guys on him and play old school man-to-man. One guy picks him up at the line of scrimmage. Other guy is 10 yards down, and you just follow that guy wherever the hell he goes. I don't care if it's a running play. I mean, but – time after time after time, you know, both these guys open. So, but it was great. They ran the ball. They passed the ball. No interceptions. You know, quintessential offensive performance out of Kansas City. And they still needed overtime, which shows you, like, you know, we're talking about them going undefeated. But then on the other side of the coin, it's like, are they really not that good, though? Are they? I mean, they're barely winning these games. But that's Mahomes. And the dude finds ways to win football games, again, with or without the help of the officials. You know, and him, you know, being helped off the field, you know, a la Kellen Winslow from many moons ago. But they win. That's all they do is win, Dan.
Yep, they do. And Scott, even last year, it was part of the conversation, right? An offense that was now middle of the pack in the NFL, which is something they had not been in the opening 5 years with Mahomes as the starter. Last year was year 6. This, of course, is year 7, but a defense that was elite. And, Scott, you could have made the same argument entering last night. Kansas City's defense, third-best scoring unit in the NFL, allowing just 17.6 points per game. They gave up more than 20 for just the second time in 8 games this year, yesterday against a very shorthanded Buccaneers offense. I actually thought the KC would hold on to the game in regulation, win 24-17, and cash my under 45.5 for me, despite the Bucs getting the ball back with just over 2 minutes remaining. Of course, Tampa did force overtime. And Scott, as we said before the break, Kansas City, who has won 2 consecutive Super Bowls, 3 Lombardi trophies in the last 5 years, attempting to make history this season. No team has ever won 3 consecutive Super Bowls. No team that has won 2 consecutive Super Bowls has ever even reached a third straight Super Bowl appearance. KC is trying to do that. At the end of 8 weeks, They're the only unbeaten team somehow, some way. And of course, they are the short Super Bowl favorites to win another Lombardi Trophy this season. The number right now for Kansas City stands at plus 420. Actually, a little bit of movement based on where these odds were earlier this morning. But still, the shortest number out there. More than half a dollar in front of the Lions. Detroit, second best price. We'll talk about the Lions in just a little bit. And the Baltimore Ravens at plus 650. Scott, I don't really think there's an argument to say Kansas City is not deserving of the shortest Super Bowl price to be that favorite here at the midway point of the NFL season. I think the question around Kansas City is, can they cash that ticket? Can they have the chance to cash that ticket playing in a third straight Super Bowl? Are they the best team in the NFL at this current juncture?
I'd say yes. You know, we brought this up, Ben, a few weeks back when they were 5-1. And you're right, they were 4-1. Last show I did, you know, on Moneyline, me and George, we talked about it, they were 4-1. So I don't know how they bumped up to plus 420. I mean, seems to me the boys in Vegas, I can't believe I'm going to say this, actually want you to bet Kansas City. You think it would be the other way around. You think they would put that number at the, you know, maybe 3-1 or plus 250 and have people say, why, what's the point? You know, I might as well just wait for them to get to the postseason. But at 4 and change, that's still a pretty good price, you know. And I reason it like I did, you know, a few weeks back when we talked about it. The AFC Championship game, it's going to go through Kansas City. You know, unless something drastic happens, you know, Baltimore, you know, is already lost to them, so they're not going to be able to catch them. You know, they play Houston, but Houston's three back. They play Buffalo. Buffalo would be the one, but I don't think Buffalo is really on that level. I really don't. And anyway, you would still need Kansas City to lose some games, even if they lost head-to-head to their Buffalo game earlier. So you got to believe it's going to go through Kansas City. They're going to get the bye, so you only have to win two games to get to the Super Bowl. You want to give me 4 and change for a team like that? I'll take that, knowing I could hedge once they get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And Scott, we'll see, right? Kansas City to remain perfect the entirety of the year, going to be tremendously difficult. But starting 8-0 and being the last undefeated team gives you such a leg up in terms of having that best record in your conference. KC now minus 420 to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. And again, Scott, if there was ever a year to knock the Chiefs off their perch, perhaps it was last year when the Chiefs did not have the opening round bye and had to play two road games on their way to a Super Bowl, booked as an underdog in both, and yet they won outright. More than likely, for the sixth time in the last 7 years, the AFC Championship game will be played inside Arrowhead Stadium. More around the NFL next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, before we talk about trade deadline day and where it leaves the National Football League about to embark on the second half of this season, let's quickly hit on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, after a 4-2 start, the Bucs, who had won three consecutive NFC South divisional titles, looked like they were going to contend for a fourth title in a row. They've now dropped three straight games, and of course, injuries have played a huge component of that. Both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin out for a significant amount of time. Chris Godwin out for the remainder of this year. One of the guys expected to help offensively, the rookie Jalen McMillan out of Washington, inactive last night on a Monday in Kansas City. And yet the Bucs gave the Chiefs a charge, of course, forcing overtime and covering as a 9.5-point dog. But ultimately, Scott, Tampa has dropped three games in a row. Now a game below 500 at 4-5. The only team in a measly NFC South, kind of a weaker division that we expected, that is above 500 with a winning record at the midway point. That's the Falcons at 6-3. What's your outlook look like for the Bucs the remainder of the way?
Listen, without having your two best weapons, I give a lot of credit for hanging in there. And teams make adjustments, and sometimes the backups really aren't as bad as people perceive them to be compared to the starters, even when the starters are as good as those two guys are. But, you know, the one thing that the NFC does not have, unlike the AFC, we're a 5-4 football team. is in the last wild card spot. 6-3 is now in the last wild card spot. And it's a pretty good Green Bay team, right? It's not a mediocre team that you think is going to come back to the pack. It's going to be tough to catch them. Can you count on Atlanta continuing the way they're going with Kirk Cousins? Have they kind of turned that corner, or is the division still open? It's not, honestly, it's not promising for Tampa Bay, but I like Baker Mayfield. First few years in the league, I thought it was going to be a bust, and then we made fun of him and rooted against him and this and that. But the guy has a lot of moxie. He really does. He's not afraid to put his head down. He makes smart plays, doesn't make the dumb play for the most part. I think he's limited offensively, with his ability, but he's going to keep them in it, Ben, but I don't think ultimately they're going to get to the postseason. No, I don't. They lost. Don't forget, they lost both games to Atlanta already. So not only are they two back in the standings, they're really three back in the standings. So you could almost rule out winning the NFC South. They're going to have to get in as a wild card. And like I said, with 6-3 Green Bay being the last wild card team, it's going to be tough to catch.
Yeah, Scott, it's a great point. The AFC is not the gauntlet of a conference that perhaps we expected or anticipated. So even some teams that have started terribly this year, the Bengals, the Jets, have a little bit of life at this point because of it. The NFC is not the same story, and the Falcons now are a -1,000 favorite to win the NFC South. Atlanta is improving. There is no doubt about it. Have they been overwhelmingly impressive? Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Kirk Cousins playing better football, certainly healthier as the weeks go on, but the Falcons are a great beneficiary of a division that has kind of lacked its punch, right? The Saints have dropped 7 in a row. They just fired their head coach, Dennis Allen, yesterday. The Carolina Panthers, despite the win over New Orleans, are still the Carolina Panthers, and the Buccaneers, of course, have kind of hit the skids because of the offensive injuries they have seen this year. So that's where things stand for Tampa Bay. But Scott, as we talk about the NFC as a whole, a couple of big updates. We'll talk quarterback news, injury news in just a moment, but a trade deadline day. And the Detroit Lions, who might be the best team in football, despite KC's undefeated record, are only getting better. Of course, they lost Aiden Hutchinson earlier this year, a big blow for that defense, certainly the pass rush. Well, the Lions have made one of the biggest splashes so far ahead of the NFL trade deadline, acquiring Za'Darius Smith, the edge rusher from the Cleveland Browns. They get Za'Darius Smith and a 7th rounder, Scott, next year in exchange for a 5th rounder this year and a 6th rounder next year as well. Not a ton given up to get a pass rusher who already has 5 sacks this year with the Cleveland Browns in only 9 games, and a guy that knows the NFC North very well. 4 years, of course, with the Packers and the Vikings in total.
Yeah, 3-time Pro Bowler, so it's not just a guy that just happens to have 5 sacks because he walked into 5 sacks this year. He knows what he's doing back there. That's a real good trade. I won't say a pretty good. That's like an above-average trade. Browns are just basically putting up the for sale sign. Amari Cooper gone. Smith gone. Basically, anyone worth anything on that Browns team is probably up for the taking. So, good move by the Lions.
Yeah, I think so as well, Scott. It is huge for Detroit. The Lions right now, the shortest price to win the NFC. We'll talk about that in just a couple of moments when you come back on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC. It is deadline day in the National Football League. The trade deadline hits at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Scott, the NFL trade deadline is not quite what other leagues are. Certainly not the flurry of moves we see around the MLB trade deadline at the end of July as teams try to bolster their roster for an October run and certainly that playoff resume. The NBA trade deadline has a little bit more juice as well, but the NFL's has come on in the last 3 to 4 to 5 years around the National Football League, and we've already seen one deal get done. We just talked about it. Za'Darius Smith is on his way to the Motor City. The Lions need to bolster that defensive line after the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. They get that in Za'Darius Smith. 5 sacks this year in 9 games. Had 5.5 sacks last year in his first year in Cleveland. Scott spent 4 years in the NFC North. 3 with Green Bay, 2021 with Minnesota. When he was fully healthy, playing at least 2 games in a season. He played more than that, but at least in his fully healthy years, he was a Pro Bowler all 3 seasons, all 3 years, double-digit sacks. Still a guy, even that he has been in the NFL for a decade, who can get after the quarterback. The Lions add a really big addition to that defense on deadline day.
Yeah, because that's the one thing without Hutchinson they're lacking, right? And if you're going to win on a big time level, we're talking NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, right? You can't have Patrick Mahomes, if you're going to reach them in the Super Bowl, just sitting around there throwing a football at his leisure. You're not going to win. Maybe the same thing with Brock Purdy in San Francisco, or even if it's Minnesota, you know, with Sam Darnold and all those weapons that Minnesota has. So they got to do something. They've been able to win, surprisingly enough, without getting any sacks. But, you know, big picture, they need this guy. So good move. They take the chance. You know, you don't give up that much. So, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't know why other teams wouldn't necessarily do this. But, you know, good for the Lions to show that, you know, there are so few teams, Ben, you said it, that really make trades at the trade deadline. Maybe the dumb salary. But, you know, few teams seemingly add on. And the Lions are doing that. They're clearly all in for this season.
Yeah, they are, and rightfully so. Scott, the Lions are 7-1 this year. They have covered in all 7 wins. Of course, it has been a historic stretch for this Detroit team. Last year, won their first divisional championship in 3 decades in the NFL, won their first playoff game and first NFC championship game appearance in 32 years. What the Lions have never done is play or win a Super Bowl. They have won an NFL championship back in the late 50s, in fact, 1957, but Detroit has never played for a Lombardi Trophy. They have never won a Lombardi Trophy. And Scott, when you look at the odds entering the year, it was San Francisco, short price on the Niners in the NFC, and then everybody else, double the number, add on a couple of cents of change to find even those other conference contenders. Now, entering week number 10, it is Detroit as that short favorite, plus 210. We mentioned the movement. You were hosting the money line with George Kurtz. I was hosting the early line earlier this morning, looking at the prices. KC was plus 380 after Monday Night Football. Detroit had the second best number at 5-1. I wonder if some of the odds movement has been based on what seems to be a very beneficiary deal to acquire Za'Darius Smith. Regardless, God, the Lions, plus 210 to win the NFC. Half the price of everybody else. San Francisco, despite a 4-4 record, still has that second best number alongside Philadelphia. Both the 49ers and the Eagles are 5-1, but the Lions nearly $3 in front of both of those clubs.
That's amazing. That really is. Unlike with Kansas City, Ben, I can't see anyone beating Kansas City. That's just one of those I got to see to believe it. They got to root to Kansas City with all elements and everything else against them. I got to see that. Detroit, could I see San Francisco getting everyone healthy at the end of the year? You know, getting Christian McCaffrey back, and hopefully that's going to be sooner or later for San Fran, not at the end of the year. I could still see them knocking off Detroit. If you just want to go chalk, though, I will tell you, FanDuel, you put them in conference championship parlays. Kansas City wins the AFC. Detroit wins the NFC as the two overwhelming favorites. Still almost over 7.5-1, plus 768. That's not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
No. No, it is not, Scott. And the Lions, like the Chiefs, not quite a minus 420 price for KC to have that best record in the AFC. The Lions are still the odds-on favorites to have that best record in the NFC at minus 115. And Scott, when it comes to impressing based on odds expectation, unlike KC, who is just 5-3 against the number in terms of their 8 wins, 6 of the 8 by a single score, the Lions, almost the complete opposite. They have covered in all 7 of their wins this year. They are 44-18 against the spread with Dan Campbell as their head coach since the start of 2021. No other NFL team is covering in 61% or more of their games. The Lions' hit rate is 71% at this moment. Detroit is the best scoring offense in the league. Jared Goff is playing highly efficiently right now in an offense that is designed beautifully by Ben Johnson. And they just made some additions to that defensive side of the football as well. Scott, I agree. The Niners will be there if healthy at the end of the year. Heck, San Francisco has played in four of the last five NFC Championship games. But I really do believe the Lions will be right there as well. I think Detroit is playing in the NFC Championship game at bare minimum at the end of January.
Yeah, they're against the spread numbers, Ben, are just like they're automatic plays. And you don't say that very often in the NFL. But you said it, 44-18 last three plus years against the spread, 16-3 against the spread their last 19 road games. 16-3, including 11-1 last 12. But those are all dogs, right? No, not 8-1 rather. 8-1 as road favorites, including this past weekend in Green Bay. Jared Goff, the most profitable against the spread quarterback in the NFL the last 5 years. I mean, it's just overwhelming. And they've been able to make the transition, which makes this to me the most impressive thing. They went from part of those trends as an underdog, being lousy, to then being, you know, pretty good. So now you went from being a, you know, a 3 or 4, 5, 6 point underdog to now being like pick 'em. And then they've also transitioned that into being the favorite. They're covering games now as the favorite. So that they've been able to make that move. I mean, listen, for me, they're an automatic play. They really are. My only caveat is Dan Campbell on the sidelines. But the issue, you know, conversely, is if one of the teams I think might be able to get them is Philadelphia. And if you watch Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles game this past weekend, you can't possibly say he's a better head coach on the sidelines than Dan Campbell. So to me, it's got to be San Francisco or maybe Minnesota with all their weapons. But who else is realistically going to beat them? But you know, is Campbell going to screw up like he did last year?
Hey, Scott, I don't think it's a blistering take to say if you watch Nick Sirianni try to and thus mismanage the game on Sunday against Jacksonville, that those kind of coaching decisions, if they continue, are going to cost Philadelphia a significant playoff game. There is no doubt about it. And although the Eagles have won four straight and are 6-2 and have looked a lot better the last 3 weeks, you watch that game against Jacksonville. Yes, what atrocious call on Saquon Barkley where he really should have been ruled down that led to a scoop and score the Jaguars took advantage of. I get it. But Nick Sirianni cost his team the opportunity to win that game comfortably and get out of Dodge and focus on the Cowboys by the time they reached the fourth quarter. By the way, we'll talk Dallas and the injury news to Dak Prescott in just a moment. But Scott, that's one of the reasons I think when you compare teams to Kansas City, you give the Chiefs the edge. Not only the track record and the pedigree, but you know that the consistency will always be there with Andy Reid, that the right decisions will be made. Everybody else, even in the AFC, you don't have those answers to your postseason questions. The Chiefs have answered it time and again.
Yeah. They had the two big checks, the two most important positions, I think, on a football field. Quarterback, you'll always win, and head coach. And then you go from there.
Yep. For sure, that is the case. The Dallas Cowboys have question marks next to both of those most important positions. We'll talk about Dak Prescott's hamstring injury and what it means for Dallas the rest of the way. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
As it always goes, one week in the NFL comes to a close. You look back on the Sunday slate, the weekend that was, and of course, you have an eye on injuries and what it means moving forward. Scott, the Dallas Cowboys are 3-5 this year, dropping their third consecutive game in a row to the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Adding on to the insult of losing is the injury to the quarterback, Dak Prescott. Exited early with a hamstring injury, MRI yesterday. Dallas fears that he is going to miss multiple weeks. More than likely going to avoid a stint on the IR, but going to be on the sideline for at least a few weeks. Scott, Dallas is already two games below 500 at 3-5. With Dak Prescott missing a few games, what does it mean for the Cowboys' chances of even being a winning football team this year?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like a playoff team, right? Playoffs, it's not happening, right? You know, because the other bad thing about Dallas is, you know, two of their three wins have come against AFC teams. So their NFC record, which is a, you know, a decent little tiebreaker if you don't face for a team, they're 1-4. So they're in a position to lose all tiebreakers. So they'd have to go gain one more game. It's obviously not looking good. You know, a lot of situations, you know, the backup comes in, and if he does well, then what? You know, we all remember the 5-1 Cooper Rush from a couple of years ago. But listen, he could go 4-0 and win every game 50-0. And Dak, you just paid the guy $50 million. So any thought of him, you know, maybe taking over, it's not happening. It really isn't, right? They're making moves. They you know, they picked up the wide receiver from Carolina. Gave up a fourth round pick and you know, a little exchange of other draft choices. I don't know if they necessarily did that for this year versus they just liked the guy coming out of college 2 years ago. So why not a second round pick? But it's not looking good. This was disaster from the get-go with this Dallas Cowboys team. I thought they would be halfway decent. I really did. But you might as well put Dak on IR and get him away for four games at least and then, you know, figure out what you're going to do for the rest of the season.
Scott, a fourth round pick for Jonathan Mingo, who has been in Carolina for his two NFL seasons, and maybe that's why. But of all of the moves or maybe lack of maneuvers that Dallas has made in the offseason and up till now, to give up a fourth rounder makes no sense to me, and I don't think wide receiver is their issue as of this moment.
And it'll be a high fourth rounder, right? It'll be a high fourth rounder.
What a great deal for Carolina. Scott, right now there is no playoff price available on the Dallas Cowboys, more than likely off the board because of the injury status of Dak Prescott. I can tell you this, it was plus money entering the weekend after a loss to Atlanta. No doubt that plus money has become even steeper. Plus 250 or so would be my guess, my estimation at this moment. And Scott, you're not wrong to take the perspective, right? As we do often in the off seasons, the Cowboys are going to be a double-digit win football team. They're going to contend for the NFC East. They've won the divisional crown two of the last 3 years. It's by the time they get to the playoffs, that's where you poke holes. That's where they have a lack of success. But getting to the playoffs, being a winning football team, winning 10, 11, 12 games, that's never been the issue at the Star. It is now, which I think makes the rest of this season incredibly precarious, because with Dak Prescott on the sideline, they're a 6.5-point home underdog, now 7, against the Philadelphia Eagles in that divisional rivalry on Sunday. It does not look, Scott, like there's going to be all that many wins the remainder of this season. When do you start to consider the offseason in the future ahead? You paid Dak Prescott $60 million a year, highest paid player in the history of the NFL. You made CeeDee Lamb the second highest paid wide receiver, non-quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Micah Parsons, his tab is coming up at the end of this season as well. And Scott, one of the biggest issues for Dallas, I thought, and why it felt a little bit like there was a lack of optimism entering this year, Mike McCarthy on the warmest seat perhaps we have seen in some time. Brought back, but with no vote of confidence to give him a contract extension. He's a lame duck coach. I think he is going to be fired. I don't even know if it's a question of if, rather when right now. I think that firing could come in the next few weeks if Dallas continues to lose football games.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is what do they have to gain for firing him then versus at the end of the year? Outside of just putting the poor guy out of his misery, right? You know, if they end up being 3-10, we'll just say, or 4-9, something like that, the whole world knows he's not coming back, so you might as well just let him go, I suppose. But it was a bad situation to start the season, Ben, and it's gotten no better, you know. But people are, you know, playing for their jobs and everything else. You would think they would at least give the Valiant try, but it's Dallas, you know. I don't know. You know, and it's funny. We go back to the preseason things that we always kind of like to look up and make fun of, right? Well, what is it now? 18 straight seasons, 18 out of 19, something goofy like that, that the NFC East division champ has not repeated. Clearly looks like that's going to be another year on top of that. And in the same vein, if Washington wins the division, 19 of the last 21 years heading into this year, a last place team has somehow or another won the division the following year. Washington Commanders would fill that bill, make it 20 out of 22.
No doubt. Washington right now, best record, but the Eagles, a slight minus money favorite to win the division. Scott, we always question. I always make the joke. Heck, I wouldn't take my worst enemy's money and bet it on the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC or a Super Bowl because they last won a Lombardi Trophy in 1995, have had 13 playoff appearances since, and have never even gone past the divisional round. But the number is always optimistic entering a season. 6-1 before this year, third, fourth best price. It is now 100-1 for the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC Championship. There's just no chance. And heck, they're probably not even going to have a chance to cash that ticket, missing out on the postseason. Scott, some better news for another NFC contender despite a slow start. The 49ers are just 4-4, but the reports are predicting that Christian McCaffrey will be back for San Francisco to start the second half of this year. The Niners won their last game entering the bye week this season, this past weekend, and should get Christian McCaffrey back on the other side in week 10.
Yeah, they're the team, right, that I think that could challenge. They're the team by now before they actually win 3, 4, 5 in a row to get McCaffrey back, and you'll get a better number now than you will 2 weeks from now.
San Francisco, a road favorite of 5.5 points in Tampa on Sunday. I got to run. They're using the studio for interviews. Scott Wetzel takes you home here on Football Full Circle on the other side of the break. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle right here on the grid, closing up shop. Just a reminder, it is NFL trade deadline day, 4 o'clock Eastern time. I wonder why they do 4 o'clock Eastern time. You would think they would, you know, give the folks on the West Coast a little bit more time this morning and this afternoon, maybe make it like 7 o'clock Eastern time, at least to give a few extra hours on the West Coast to make deals. But they make it 4 o'clock Eastern time. So had a couple. There's some big names that are still out there, including Seattle wide receiver DJ Metcalf. Now, the four-letter network saying that he's not going to be traded. Who knows? You know, if some team offers up a big deal, I can't help but think if they're at least considering, I don't know why they would consider trading him, especially in that division, which is clearly winnable for Seattle. But if his name is out there, you know, he's always an unhappy camper. You're taking on more than a football player if you trade for DJ Metcalf. You have to know that going in. He's one of those pain-in-the-butt wide receivers. You better be prepared to feed him the football. So, but you talk about teams that could use him, you know, add him to your roster, even if it's for just the end of the season, that'll be interesting. Let's see what they get for him, if, in fact, they do trade him. Defensive back Marshon Lattimore for the New Orleans Saints. With them firing their head coach this week, I would think almost anyone's available, you know, for the New Orleans Saints. How about Derek Carr? Last year of his contract, is he really going to be in a Saints uniform next year? I don't think so. Are the Saints at this point in the race? No. So if there was a team there in the NFL that you know wanted a quarterback because they're worried about injuries or you know anything else, you know, I would think he would be available if there was a team interested. But you know, you got to find a team that really had an injury. The Jordan Love situation, if he was like hurt seriously, that would have been ideal. But we all know he played this past week and he should be fine. So, and then, you know, the New York Jets winning last week against Houston last Thursday, you know, maybe ended any speculation about the Jets tearing it all down. It was a huge win, not only in the standings, but that may have changed their focus between just tearing it all down and starting all over again or thinking that this is still their year. So, I'd like to see some teams make some moves, you know, figure out what the, you know, Cincinnati's going to do. They're kind of on the cusp that, you know, they certainly need some help defensively. What are offense? Their defense is just awful. It really is. Buffalo could use a wide receiver, you know, put DJ Metcalf up there in Buffalo. That wouldn't be too bad. So hopefully we'll see some moves, but historically NFL trade deadline really hasn't been, you know, too much. But you never know. I do like, you know, going back to that little parlay with Kansas City and Detroit that Ben and I were talking about earlier. Ben's, you know, doing some things right now, so I'll close up shop here. That's not a bad payout. 7.5 plus 768. So I'll just say 7.5 to 1 for Kansas City and Detroit to meet in the Super Bowl. I don't have any qualms about Kansas City. I really think they're going to get there. I would be really surprised if they didn't. And you could just grab them a plus 180 if you just want to take the winner and walk home. But if you want to maximize, you know, your thinking here, you throw Detroit in there at plus 210 to win the NFC, and now you got yourself a 7.5 to 1 parlay. Could the Lions screw up and lose? Absolutely. But I'm guessing Kansas City gets in, Detroit gets in the NFC Championship game. I know this is really looking ahead, but if the AFC Championship game is played before the NFC Championship game, then you get Kansas City into the Super Bowl, and now you can hedge the NFC Championship game. And at a 7.5 to 1 ticket, no matter who they're playing, whether they're favorites or slight underdogs against San Fran, that's not a bad little ticket to hedge against. So I do like that. And at this point, you know, Kansas City to me is an absolute. Getting the number one seed in the AFC, not quite the same in the NFC for Detroit, but you know I don't think Washington's going to stay up there. I think they're going to lose a couple of games. Philadelphia, after watching Nick Sirianni this past weekend, they're going to lose a couple of games. Falcons, no. San Fran's too far back at 4-4 or anyone else in that division. So it's 7-1. Detroit would really have to lose a couple of games that they're not supposed to lose for them to not be in the NFC, in the number one seed. And that's big. That eliminates a first-round game, and it gives them the next two at home. And you look at the rest of their schedule, you know, it's not easy. I will say, you know, they got some losable games. At Houston is on there. They got Green Bay again, but at home. At San Francisco and Minnesota one more time, but at home, and then Buffalo. But that's at home. All the toughies at home. They'll be, I think, the number one seed in the NFC. So good job by all the folks here on the grid. Don't forget, I'll be back tonight, Sports Grid TV, 8 to 10 with the in-game live. Hopefully you guys can tune. And otherwise, we'll talk to you tomorrow.